This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ladies Talking Leafs, I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And I think I may have jinxed the Florida Panthers last night on Saturday night when they could have won the cup, but of course they lost big time to the Oilers. And the reason why I say that is because when I was writing the show notes, I was thinking, okay, am I going to mention about the cup final, like to say congrats or what? And then I thought, oh, then I stopped myself. So anyways, there is going to be another game. So we'll see about that. We'll get into that in a second. But first of all, we want to let you know that the NHL and NBA seasons are coming to a close, but you will still want to check out BetOnline as your number one source for all your sports betting needs this summer. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games.
So head to the website today, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, the game starts here. So please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know needs support or advice, you can reach out to Connex Ontario or an organization near you. Place your limits and stay within it.
Okay, so a few NHL updates to note from Commissioner Gary Bettman's media availability during the Stanley Cup final. The salary cap is going up. That's good news. Up $4.5 million from $83.5 million to $88 million for next season, 2024-25. And it was also announced that the NHL will host their own international event, the Four Nations Face-Off Tournament, from February 12th to the 20th. And this will replace next year's All-Star Game. So, the cap, I mean, that's good news for every team, obviously.
But very, very good news for the Leafs. We need every dime that we can get.
Yeah. And we'll get into a little bit more of the cap situation later on in the show with the upcoming draft and UFA's free agency. But that Four Nations Cup is interesting. It's going to be fun to finally have an international event, mm-hmm. even though David Pastrnak isn't going to be a part of it. Because
no, yeah.
They don't have enough Czech players to make a team because it's Canada, Finland, Sweden, and the US, right? So,
yeah. And I guess that, that's to do it with NHL players. The only way they could really incorporate players like that is if they kind of do what they did the last World Cup where they had, like a Team Europe or a world team type of thing, And they tried to do that a few times with All-Star games as well. World versus North America or that type of thing. But unfortunately we're not going to have there's going to be a lot of good players that are not going to be involved, but it'll still be an interesting event. And I think it's just USA, Canada, Sweden, and Finland to start with. And this is the first incarnation, and it could grow and they could add more teams to it, you know, in the future, I would think as well.
And it's being hosted by in Montreal and Boston, the mm-hmm. two cities that are going to host it. So that'll be good. And
I'm actually kind of glad that some of the distraction is moving away from Toronto for next season.
Yeah.
So another thing the NHL announced was an untitled docuseries coming this fall on Prime Video. The series will have interviews with key players, their families, teammates, rivals, to show what life is like on and off the ice for the league's top players. I'm super excited about this. It's being created by the same people that did the Formula One Drive to Survive. And I believe there's a tennis one that they've done, and as well a golf docuseries as well. But the Drive to Survive basically completely reinvigorated Formula One and brought in a lot of new fans to the sport. So I'm sure this is going to be way better than the previous Amazon series that was done on the Leafs. So
that's what I was going to say. I hope it's better than the all or nothing.
It's going to be really, really good. I'm actually quite excited for it. And it's going to have some behind the scenes stuff like throughout the playoffs as well. They're following players during that time. I believe that one of the Leafs that is going to be pretty prominently highlighted is going to be Willie. He's coming a real rock star. So
he's made for this type of
100%. Yeah. So I'm interested in seeing, you know, a little bit about, what he does when, you know, we're not watching.
Yeah. Yeah. What makes him ticks a little.
Exactly.
But, the other players though, just to mention too, are Connor McDavid, Matthew Tkachuk, Pasternak, Jeremy Swayman, Bruins goalie, and Quinn Hughes of mm-hmm. Vancouver are going to be featured on this. So,
and I think there will be other players as well, because there will be interactions and stuff like that too. So, you know, talking to teammates and stuff as well. So,
one thing I forgot though with Amazon Prime, that they acquired the right, because they're getting more into the hockey, I guess, TV part of it, and they acquired the rights from Sportsnet for the
Monday nights.
So that'll be interesting to see as we go along with the partnership with Sportsnet and the NHL, and now this Prime Video coming into it, seeing how that's gonna go. But
All right. So another quick programming note, our next show is going to be July 3rd, and that is going to be our first patio season episode. We'll be talking Leafs all summer long. So be sure to hit that follow button wherever you listen to our show. And now it's time for us to get into this episode. And we're going to start things off with our Leaf Talk segment, where we have a grab bag of items to discuss. And then we're going to roll out the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel with our top three moments of the 2023-24 season. And then for a third period segment, with the NHL draft and free agency coming up in a couple weeks, we're going to be giving our thoughts on what players the Leafs might be looking at adding to their prospect pool and roster for the next season. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Okay, so it took a while, but the Leafs finally announced that both assistant coaches Dean Chenoweth and Guy Boucher will not be returning next season. So only Mike Ben Ryan still remains as an assistant with the Leafs from last year's staff right now anyways. And we figure that he will be staying, since Craig Berube already has that relationship with him from the St. Louis Blues. But they did announce former New York Islanders head coach Lane Lambert has been hired as an associate coach. I just figured when I was reading the articles about it, I was like, oh, I didn't realize it, that there was this difference. Not an assistant coach, he's an associate coach, which apparently is seen as a slight step up from an assistant. So I read into it a little bit, because he was fired basically and from the Islanders this season, and that Patrick Roy took over for him, basically, right? So, but yeah, no, he's a former NHL player, and I think from what I read, it's the dynamics that the Leafs were and Craig Berube were attracted to, because he was formerly under Barry Trotz in with the Capitals, so and when they won the Stanley Cup in 2018. So I think the way they said it was that he's more of a, I guess, a player friendly coach, whereas obviously Craig Berube, he may not be so friendly with the players.
So he's the foil. Foil.
He's going
to
be
dressing room to massage the situation in case there is some feathers ruffled.
Right. Yeah. So, and another thing, I guess his style that I read about his style is that he's more of a shoot first mentality, not necessarily to look for the best shot, which might be a good thing because the Leafs for many seasons now have tended to overpass. Right. But he's more like that. But then because of that, I guess the defense on the Islanders was brutal, apparently. And they gave up a lot of third period leads that they had. But then when you think of that, like Craig Berube's style will kind of
balance that
out, I'm thinking anyways, or at least we hope.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I kind of think in some ways, you know, their objective is similar when it comes to offense, because that's exactly kind of what, you know, he wants is like a north-south type of you know, style,
right.
Berube, that is. But he's obviously going to, you know, be more looking for the 200-foot type of game. So anyway, I think it's good to have, you know, a collaboration like that. And like you
and
said,
obviously Berube has to be in on the decision too. It's his, he's working with him.
Well, yeah.
So.
So I think he's obviously going to be the architect of kind of getting the guys that he wants in place. And I assume that he will handle his coaching staff just like he wants to handle the players in that they will have clear cut roles. So, and that's the way they're going to work it. Right. So he's going to bring all these different guys to the table. So I wonder now that they officially parted ways with Guy Boucher, if that leaves the door open for Mark Savard to come on board. I don't know, but
they're taking a long time with that, with the decision though, like for it to be, I don't know. Cause there is what's the other assistant's name that left? He went to coach Abbotsford in Vancouver.
Malhotra?
Yeah.
Manny Malhotra?
Technically there's two spots open. Let's just
right.
say Guy Boucher and Manny Malhotra gone.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they fill both spots, because I mean that bench was pretty loaded back
I
there with
think
people.
That they're probably looking for their specialty teams guys. And though I'm glad then that they're taking their time with this, because those two hires are crucial. Literally, that is those are the areas that they cannot mess up, you know, picking the wrong guys for those spots, I think. So I'm sure the other thing is that because the Stanley Cup finals are still ongoing, I know that they kind of snuck in the Guy Boucher thing over the weekend. And that's probably because, you know, Gary Bettman doesn't want anything distracting from all of the final, you know, games.
Yeah. I heard he actually told teams
to make announcements. So my guess is that there'll be some announcements forthcoming and it'll be kind of, you know, coming fast and furious once the finals are over, which could be as early as Tuesday, but I kind of feel like it might not be anyway.
Oh, really? All right.
Yeah. So on to some player contract negotiation updates with Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi both being focused on by fans and media as they're both UFAs on July 1st. The latest is we know that both players are looking for term. I think it's going to be difficult, though, for them to get that. Obviously, the Leafs are going to be a little bit wary of giving them too much. But, I mean, a guy like Domi, how much term is he going to really, really want? He basically has been like going year to year to year everywhere he's been for the last, I don't know how many seasons. So for him, 2 or 3 years, that is like, you know, home and cooled out pretty much in comparison to what he's been doing the last few. Bertuzzi might be a little bit tougher, but I could see them, you know, lining things up with the maximum, say, at around, you know, what Matthew's contract is, which is 4 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that right now is their current window, technically.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I prefer, for whatever reason, I prefer Bertuzzi. I guess it's more because of his physical style. And I mean, they're both 29 years old, but I don't think they're going to be able to sign him. There's too much competition out there. Now I'm hearing like Nashville is coming after him. Maybe even apparently he had a good relationship with Sheldon Keefe. So New Jersey apparently is showing interest, and also possibly going back to Detroit. Right. So, I mean, with all those teams, I'm starting to think, you know, and it's his right to do that. Like he can get more money and term with those other teams and whatever. Well, I mean, it was nice to have that physicality in front of the net and in the playoffs. He's definitely a playoff player that way.
Yeah, but I mean, I still expected more.
During the regular season, I did. Mm-hmm. But in the playoffs, I think he played well with Matthews and
I still think not as well as you did the year before with Boston in their one series.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He always looked like he's working hard out there.
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah. But anyway,
I think we need defense. First and foremost.
So 100%.
Like we know before we give out term and dollars to these guys, they got to get the top four defensemen, one or even two if they can, and a goalie.
Like, yeah,
it's more the back end that's important here, but these two guys, I think Domi is more likely to take a little bit of a hometown discount to stay here a little bit, right? Just because of his history, like with his dad, obviously with Ty Domi, and just the being part of the Leafs organization is something that's a part of him, right? So I just think that it just makes more sense that he'll be the one to stay, and I
do think that the coach that we have on board now, you know, there's certain players that are not going to want to play for a coach like that. They don't want that, you know? So I'm not saying Bertuzzi is a guy that is going to shy away from that, but I think that's going to come into play for some of these free agents. You know, not every guy is going to be the type of guy that wants to go through a wall for a coach. But yeah. I think that Domi is definitely that kind of guy that would do that, would want to be like that. He was like that already, you know? So, yeah. So between the two, I think, like you said, he's probably the more likely of the two to be able to come to some sort of agreement.
Yeah. But another player contract, of course, that is still being talked about is Mitch Marner. So in our previous episode, number 21, we went through some trade possibilities. But from recent reports, the Leafs aren't 100% sold or haven't made a decision either way about trading Mitch Marner. And there's all kinds of speculation around the league and with the media and the fans wondering, like, what's going to happen to Mitch and who controls. He really controls the situation because of his no movement clause, right? So, I mean, we're going to be talking about this for I don't know how long. I don't know how he's going to handle it next season. Like if he just does play out the season or decide to do that, like it's just going to be constant questions like about it from the media. I mean, he could do what Willie did, right? Like, I'm not talking about it after this. Right. And hopefully people will listen. But what do you think? Apparently, too, there is a strong possibility that he will play out the season and then we'll lose him for nothing. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, obviously that is not ideal.
Right.
I don't think that that's that True Living would want to do that. Like I think that they would want, it's possible that they won't do anything this summer, but I think that ideally they would like to do what they did with Willie and get him signed by February, March. But if things aren't moving at that point, I personally don't see the Leafs not moving him at the deadline. Not with the True Living, not with True Living's history, what he's been through. And you can't get nothing for an asset like that. So, like, I don't
necessarily... So you're not of the belief that, because there has been some talk there is, like, let him play it out. And then really it's the cap space that you're getting.
Yeah. That's not nothing.
That's not nothing. Yeah.
But it's, we wouldn't be getting any of that for this season. Right. So I don't know. It's whatever happens, happens, honestly. And we're going to, no matter what, nothing in this is going to work out to the fans' advantage. This is not going to play out any way in which a fan will be happy about it. But, you know, we don't count for a lot. So I would hope that if they don't move him over the summer at the draft, because I really think that if they don't move him at the draft, it's not going to happen this summer. That's the ideal place for them to be able to, you know, get something of worth, you know. I just feel like, I don't see him pulling a Willie and being able to thrive in those conditions. You know, Nylander, he bumped up his value and he ended up getting more than he would have if he would have signed in the summer. I just don't see Marner handling that kind of roller coaster fan pressure. He's from here. He doesn't handle it well. How's he going to handle it well in throughout the season?
Yeah. Which when is it's why coming I down don't to understand
it. Yeah.
Why he wouldn't just give in and say, here's the teams that I would go.
It's, to. You know why? It's because it's not just him. It's he has been listening throughout his whole life to his agent and his dad. Those guys are the ones that are working everything. And no matter how much is destroying him, they are those two guys that Darren Ferris and his dad are not guys to back down to anything. So no matter how, like, you know, I don't know, his mom should step in, because if he's being mentally destroyed, how worth it is any of it? I don't know.
No,
maybe they think it's worth it to go through all of that mental anguish for a year, you know, to get set up for life or whatever. But I don't know. At some point, he's got to stand up and be a man and just tell them what he wants to do.
Yeah,
I hope that he does that.
I don't know. Like, it's just, yeah, because it hasn't worked, let's just say, with this core, obviously.
No.
And to bring them, just in his mind, like, to come back to that and try it again under a different coach, right? Like, I mean, you could say that, I guess, that it's a different coach, but I don't know. I just,
well, maybe Lane Lambert is the guy for him, you know. Maybe that hire was all totally hired to, like, help Mitch through the season to get the most out of him. Who knows?
I don't know, but I mean, we're going to just keep on talking about this as the draft comes in the next couple of weeks and then free agent on July 1st when they can actually start with negotiating. But I mean,
but I look, if he does what Nylander did last year, I'm like all fine with it, you know, because the longer the carrot is dangling, then that could take us pretty far, you know? But I just don't see him managing it in the same way.
Yeah. So I mean, when it was presented, when I read about the fact that you're getting the salary, obviously, like, that's the benefit, let's just say, if he plays out the season, that's fine. But then you're losing, let's just say, a 90 to 100 point player.
And yeah, and how do you replace
like, yes,
that?
Yes, you'll have the money for it, but mm-hmm. how long is it? Like, it's not necessarily the case that you're going to, with that money, you're going to be able to get that for the regular season. Like, you need.
But the truth is that we're not going to replace that in a trade either. Like, we're not getting a one for one, you know, bona fide like star.
No, you know? But you, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. And yeah, he's going to have to deal with it if he decides to play out the season. Just hopefully he gets some better lessons on how to deal with the media and the answering questions about it and just not letting it affect his play.
I mean, if he does decide to stay and that is the decision made, I think they're going to have to do what Austin Matthews did, what William Nylander did, and say, I'm talking about it in preseason, and then we're not talking about it again.
Yeah. All right. Well,
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
As much as this past season for the Leafs was, again, disappointing, there were some highlight reel moments to look back on. So it's been a while since we've rolled the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel, and we miss it. So let's roll it.
All right. So there were so many different highlights to choose from the season. But coming in at number three, we chose John Tavares's milestone. So from episode 8, here's what we said. So 1,000 career points, captain consistency, the 98th player in NHL history to reach 1,000 points in this milestone. From Chris Johnston on X, he said, John Tavares has more goals, assists, points, and games played than any other member of the 2009 draft class. So yeah, John Tavares, I mean, I think, you know, people are complaining still about him and his salary. And yes, he is like a little bit diminished, but only a little bit. The guy is still a performer and still incredibly consistent. I'm pretty sure that when he signed that contract, we were all thinking that his play would be much more diminished than it is, that, you know, he would just be a shell of himself. And he's definitely not that. He even showed that too, like, you know, when he went to play for Canada at the World Championships. He's still a contributor. I think he has evolved his game, and I think he's going to continue to do that. I still think he's got more to give, and let's face it, he's not going anywhere. So I expect, you know, he'll perform just the way he has done as a Leaf.
Yeah, to finish out. I mean, I remember the milestone part of it, like where they had the ceremony for it and everything. That was great. Like it was it's a special moment, and very few players have reached that 1,000 game milestone. And I just remember too when we went to Sweden and we actually got the chance to talk to him and and interview him quickly. But he was just, he was the way he was, he's a very personable guy. Like he seemed to be, like he was taking his time and to talk to us, and I don't know, he just made you feel comfortable. And but he's the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he's been a consistent player for the Leafs since he's come here. He chose to come here. He loves being a Leaf, and I still wish that when it comes to the captaincy, I still wish that he would kind of hand it over to Austin Matthews, but I know that's not going to happen. But
he probably will on the way out. Like I could see a situation where he re-signs with the team for lesser dollars,
right,
and then takes a lesser role as well on the team and passes it on then, which it would be a fitting time to do it, to pass the torch.
He played
kind of
great.
Thing.
He played great too with Team Canada, like in the World Championships.
Yeah,
like
that's what I said too.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so going on to number two, it's Ilya Samsonov's turnaround from our episode 12, what we said back then. Since the new year and since being recalled after being put on waivers, Sammy has a 6-2-0 record in 8 games and looks to be getting back to form that we saw last season. He ended up with a record of 18-5-2 in 25 games after his return on January 14th with a goals against average of 2.70. and a save percentage of 0.904. It was an incredible turnaround for someone who most thought had played his last game in the NHL, which is, it's very, very true. I mean, I think it was his dad that he talked to that really kind of set him straight to say, you know, you're an NHL goalie and you just need to go out and play your game. So but it was incredible because in December it was just like, get this guy out of here, like far away from here.
His own sake is really what people were thinking.
Yeah, you know, the way the Leafs handled it was really interesting as well. Like, and it worked sort of thing. Like they just told him not to come with the team on the road trip. Do whatever you need to do. Stay with your family because he has a young boy, I think, is a boy that he had, and he's and when they came back and in January he was a little bit shaky. There was like a game or two in between that weren't where he didn't have such great games, but he pulled it together, pulled the focus, he battled through it, and he did the job for us in the end.
Yeah. And sadly, I don't think he'll be back next year. I'd be really surprised if that happens. But
just a little bit too much work to for the team to handle.
But I think he did enough to warrant another team looking at him. So I don't think he's finished up in the NHL at all. All right. So coming in at number one, we are lumping together the NHL events that involve the Leafs, namely the Global Series in Sweden and the All-Star festivities that we had in Toronto. We discussed these hallmark events in episodes 7 and 11, respectively. So we picked this for a few different reasons, both personally and because they were incredible events for the Leafs. First of all, in Sweden, the Leafs won that tournament, so that was exciting. Willie emerged as a rock star, and then personally for us to be there and be able to see behind the scenes, as Chris mentioned, we interviewed John Tavares. We got to see the player interviews. We got to see basically how hockey is embraced in Sweden, but you know, hockey is everywhere there. And of course, Nylander, like the lineups just to get his autograph were like, you know, down blocks for kilometers. And then, of course, the All-Star festivities here in Toronto. It was an incredible showcase for many of our Leaf players and also for our city. And again, we got to participate in that as well. And you know, our team did well.
Both events, like we really showed up well. Willie scoring that overtime winning goal in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And his family was there, and it's special for him, obviously, all the Swedish players mm-hmm. from all the teams and like for Detroit and Minnesota and Ottawa that were in that that tournament there. But it was interesting because we had never been to Europe too, from our own personal experience, for seeing how the people there love. It was great to interact with the fans there too and see how they love the game. And so that was really good. And then the All-Star game, that was more fun, I would guess it would say, right? But it was good. The NHL really did a good like with the events that they had and making a connection with the fans and the players and that it was definitely a good show there. So hopefully, I don't know when the Leafs will have another global series or if they'll
a while from now, because as much as like I have to say that, you know, we picked these because really
you wanted to go to Mexico though.
Yeah, I would do that, but I don't want it to be next year or the year after that, you know, maybe a few years down the road, because as great as these were, I mean, we have to choose these because we don't have anything else to wrap our hearts around right now. So, and I do think that it does distract from the mission when you are putting so much time and attention into these types of events. And so that's a big deal to go, you know, cross the pond to Europe. It's a disruption in your normal routines. And the way the Leafs are followed for all of these things, it's just so much more than a lot of other teams. It takes away from everything. And really, the NHL just does use the Toronto Maple Leafs when they need to for these things. You know what? They really suck every little bit out of the organization, you know,
as much as everybody loves us, right? Loves our team.
Yeah, so much. But so anyways, I'm looking forward to having a little bit more of a down year next year where they can just concentrate on the business at hand and, you know, focus on just winning games and going far into June.
Yeah, and that's what Craig Berube definitely wants to.
Yeah. Anyway, one last thing on this, just honorable mention for the highlight reel is all year Austin Matthews. And I don't think we need to say more than that. All right. So as much as these highlight reel moments were positives, we know or at least have hopes that things will change. We have a new head coach in Craig Berube, as we mentioned, and now the focus is on making this roster better. So we're going to talk about this in our third period segment.
All right. So the 2024 NHL draft is coming up on June 28th and 29th, and it'll be held at the Sphere in Vegas, which is going to be cool. And the Leafs right now are actually have a first round pick. I had to remind
myself. I think it's 23rd overall or something.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a first round pick, 23rd overall, a fourth, and then they have 3 5th round picks and 2 7th round picks. So, I don't know. Do you think that they'll trade their first round pick?
I don't think so. I think that they're going to need something really special to come across or a phone call at the draft for them to want to move that. It could involve Marner, but I actually think if you're trading Marner, I think Marner in a first is too much. I would potentially, you know, throw in a later pick if they want to go that way, because I think you're getting Mitch Marner. What the hell do you need? He's already a first rounder. What do you need? Like a potential first round, you know, star
in the later round of the
round. Yeah. So that's basically like a second anyways, which we don't have.
But what they really need though, because of the lack of early picks, like they have nothing in the second and they have nothing in the third, like they really need to hit on these ones if
absolutely
assuming they keep it. So just a couple that we looked at, I guess a couple of players that we looked as possibilities for drafting at number 23. We looked at defensemen because we thought that's what we need in the organization the last
and that's what they haven't done well developing.
Right.
Like we just don't have any real strong candidates on the back end that seem to be able to make the leap, you know?
Yeah. So the first one actually that has gotten quite a bit of attention lately is it's a Norwegian defenseman, Stian Solberg. Sorry if I mispronounce your first name. So he's a 6'2", 205-pound defenseman, 18 years old. He played in the top Norwegian league with Vålerenga and had 9 points in 17 playoff games. So he played really well in their playoffs. He was actually interviewed by 30 teams at the NHL scouting combine just recently. So, and he was invited to Toronto for additional FaceTime so they were obviously the Leafs were interested in finding out more about him.
Did you mention like what his size is?
Yeah, he's 6'2", 205 pounds. Yeah. And, and he played actually for Norway in this year's World Championships. And he was asked who he thought, who was the toughest player you faced? And he said, John Tavares.
Good answer.
Yeah. So then I thought that's probably why he got the extra FaceTime with the Leafs, right?
Maybe
a reason. I don't know. Right. But I thought that was interesting that the kid, he said that he, just because he mentioned how strong he was, like, obviously being JT being the forward coming in on him as a young defenseman like that, right? Like that, yeah, I could see that having an impression on him. And then the other defenseman that has, jumped up a little bit in the draft rankings is EJ Emery. So he's from the U.S. National Development Program. And Brad Treliving, we always know, is looking for size on the back end. Emery is more of a shutdown demon. So he's a right shot as well, which we know how valuable those are for everybody. Mm-hmm. 6'3", he can play big minutes, has a long reach. And for his size, apparently his skating is above average. So that's one plus. But the only thing is, though, on the offensive side and I guess distributing the puck, like with the play offensively, it's not his forte, let's just say. But he's more of a stay-at-home guy. But then,
hey, it takes all different kinds to make up a team, right?
Yeah. But then he could be. He's only 18, right? Mm-hmm. So he could be as you develop him, obviously, and other offensive defensemen that we have, like Topi Niemelä, let's just say, like maybe that'll match up well, right? Like with another offensive defenseman.
Haley Wickenheiser will work with him and get the most out of him, I'm sure.
Yeah. And the comparison they gave was Brandon Carlo of the Bruins.
Okay.
Which they said that it's a comparison for him. But yeah. But again, like we don't watch these kids, Syl and I, every day. We read about all these articles from the NHL's Central Scouting and on Twitter and that. So
we're depending on the experts.
Yeah, we depend on the experts. These are the two guys that they say on defense. We're only giving our opinion, the fact that most people, fans, I think, know that we need defense in our prospect pool. We don't have a lot. And but we're leaving it to Wes Clark. to figure it out.
Yep. And he did a pretty good job last year. So I'm going to trust that he and his staff know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. All right. So after the draft comes free agency on July 1st. We think there will be a lot of player movement this year, actually. So, of course, there's already talk of some tampering going on, and it's going to be interesting to see who stays with their current team or who moves to a new address. So we've talked about the Leaf UFAs quite a bit in previous shows. So I'll just quickly mention them. So we've got Bertuzzi, Domi, TJ Brody, Joel Edmondson, Mark Giordano, and Ilya Lyubushkin. All UFAs, and also our three goalies, Ilya Samsonov, Matt Murray, and Martin Jones are also, able to find new addresses if they so choose. So
I actually picked out, I guess on Puckpedia, because now we're looking at Puckpedia.
Yes,
not,
yes.
Not cap friendly.
Yep. That is now our site of choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Since the Washington Capitol took cap friendly away from us. Mm-hmm. but the one UFA that I thought would be a good fit, and I've mentioned this before in a previous show, is Chandler Stephenson of the Vegas Golden Knights. And yeah, I just think he'd fit in good. Because like we were talking about with Tavares, you were mentioning that, you know, he's obviously still a good player for us, but he's not, let's just say, for the minutes and I guess the hard parts of the game being a second line center, he may be better to be on the wing or be put in the third third hole. But Chandler Stephenson is a second line center, 30 years old. And the only issue is that the Bruins apparently are interested in him as well. So that could be a bidding kind of war there that most likely we can't get into because the Bruins have a lot of cap space, I think, available from what
Yeah, more than us. That's for sure.
That's for sure. Yeah. But Stevenson has averaged 60 points per season over the last 3 years. He's a reliable second line center. He played with Mark Stone and Ivan Barbashev. So he obviously played with some good players there in Vegas. But he's obviously, they're saying that he's projected to get a 5-year deal worth $5.5 million. That's what they're projecting to say that's what he wants. But yeah, I think he's a good option because we need center. We need help at center too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then the goalie, I actually picked this. I wasn't too keen on it at first. I've heard a lot on like Jamie McLennan on TSN. He's talked about this Laurent Brossoit quite a bit. But now I'm kind of getting closer to being sold on him because he's 31 years old going into his 11th season. So as long as Joseph Woll, that we can make sure that he's healthy, at least to be able to play at least 35 to 40 games anyways, because Brossoit, I mean, he played with the Jets last season, and for goalies who played 20 or more games, he was first in save percentage at 9.2 or 0.927 and goals against average 2.00. So he only played the 23 games, but he's looking to play more games, right? So that's a perfect match there, I would say, because we would need him to play at least 30 to 35 games, let's just say. And then as long as Woll can stay healthy, right? It's a bit of a
gamble.
And
then we do need like a third. And, you know, Martin Jones, by all accounts, is still willing to come back and play that role. But also Matt Murray could fill in that way as well.
I was hoping you wouldn't mention, she mentioned his name early off the air, but I was like, no.
I don't necessarily want him to be on our team either, but yeah, so like as long as they got a good viable third option, because yeah, like we can't have that situation where we've got just no coverage, because Woll is a wild card. I really hope that they're going to work on his strength over the summer, which I'm sure that they are.
It's kind of a gamble, and you don't really. Goalie position. I mean, we're seeing it in the cup final now how important.
Oh, it's huge.
Like how huge it is, right? Between special teams and goaltending, like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah, you can't make a mistake in that department, you know?
Yeah. So I don't know.
Anyway, for me, one guy that kind of popped out at me that could be had you know, because I look mostly at center, depth and defensemen, because we really need those. A guy that I know that Treliving likes is Tyler Toffoli. He's his cap hit right now is 4.25. So I think that he could be probably had for around, he signed a 4-year deal before. And, you know, I think that they're kind of looking at that window with Matthews, you know, the 4-year mark. So, you know, he could get him for like 4 years or less potentially, for a decent price. He played pretty well last year.
Toffoli would be doing a tour of Canada then with all the teams
pretty much
he played.
Yeah. Yeah. And then for defensemen, I think, you know, Zadorov is still linked to our team. Chris Tanev is also a guy that is still linked to our team. I would prefer they not go for Tanev, because the guy, yes, he's a bulldog, but he gets hurt all the time.
Yeah.
And we need somebody who's going to be in the lineup.
It's the health that we're worried about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another guy that I kind of thought of too is like the Sean Monahan. I mean, he's a local guy. I don't know if he'd want to come back here, but that might be a good fit, you know, to play, you know, with, say, JT. Not necessarily second. They would still need to get somebody who's a good second center, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, and of course, Brett Pesce is also.
With that, they would have to probably trade, and there has been rumors too to be trading like David Kampf or Kelly Yonkrook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both of those players, like one of them would probably have to go to start with that, with
those rebuilding types of guys.
Yeah.
But I like your Chandler Stevenson idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I think he would be a good fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Vegas is basically screwed.
Actually, that's, but you want to deal with teams that are
finally
basically up against it, you know? Yeah.
Finally, right after just winning the Stanley Cup after like being in the league for less than.
And the thing is they have to rework their team as well. Like now they are in a bit of not a rebuild, but definitely a rework, because it didn't work for them last year. They played their same game with the LTIR. Who knows how long they're even going to be allowed to do that kind of thing. And that's not actually going to help your team in the long run if you're going to keep having to do that to be able to, you know, be able to field a team. And you're not going to have success that way. They got lucky the first time, caught lightning in a bottle. It didn't work this year. So
yeah, that's anyway. For sure. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So the Stanley Cup is still to be awarded as we do this show on the Sunday. They're going to be playing on Tuesday night back down in Sunrise, Florida. Pretty sure the Florida Panthers, though, I think they're going to finish the job in 5 games. Mm-hmm. And like any team, they'd love to win it at home, right? Like,
do you think teams actually back off, or is it the kind of thing that it got away them and they're like, let's not push it? I don't know.
The only thing,
because I just found it interesting that the night before as well, basically the Dallas Mavericks did the same thing. They just killed Boston.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Like, to me, I kind of wonder, is it that they finally just took, you know, one too many games to figure it out? Or like, what's the deal there? Because obviously these teams have it in them, or they wouldn't have, you know, beaten them to that extent, you know, both basketball and hockey. It just bothers me.
Yeah, I do have to say, like with Bobrovsky, like, I mean, he looked a little bit shaken there when he was taken out of the, like, when Maurice pulled him.
I suppose that is the slight worry, because that happened in the final last year too. He just kind of lost his mojo, and then it was over.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see what happens, but yeah, I think that you're right. I would be surprised if they don't finish them off on Tuesday, but
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw that they had a big rush trying to get I guess their family and friends up to Edmonton or something like for in case they did win. But
yeah,
turned out that they didn't have to worry about that. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for our next show, the Stanley Cup will already have been awarded. The NHL draft and free agency will be done. And that means there will be a lot more Leaf news to talk about. So a reminder, you can listen to our show on the Believe Network or hit the follow button on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite app so you don't miss an episode.
Yeah, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel and watch the show there. Throughout the NHL season, we also post a lot of video content from games we attend at Scotiabank Arena for you to check out. And when we go on the road and Chris and Sil, we take road trips during the season, so you can check out our video content from that. So we also would love to hear from you, and please consider leaving us a rating or a review. So it's really easy on Apple or Spotify, and it's important for our show to get recognized as a source for Leafs content, and we thank you for taking the time.
Another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there, and if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. You can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And as always, thank you to our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
We thank you as always for listening and watching Ladies Talkin' Leafs, presented by Bet Online. Till next time, and we'll see you on the patio. Go Leafs, go!
Go Leafs, go!
Do you believe?
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.